Aren't you glad for the Jesus you know now? We're going to pray because crap like that video irritates the hell out of me. Sound not working? Lord, we come to you today, Father, and Lord, I just pray that you would eliminate that in me this morning. We know the devil wants nothing more to distract us from pointing people to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for a powerful time of worship this morning. Lord, I thank you for this portable setup, Lord, and it provides challenges every single week. Lord, I thank you that we do a really good job 9 times out of 10 of not letting those distractions distract us. Lord, I pray you'd clear my mind this morning, Lord. Forgive me of being in a foul mood out of sudden. Lord, I pray we just get to brag on you for a minute. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's start that over. Man, I hate that video didn't work this morning, but that would have been a step down from what the band just did. Somebody say amen. You know, somewhere along the way, I think we have complicated this Christianity thing. We made church about preferences. We've made church about personalities. We've made church about elevating platforms, if you will. We've made church about everything and anything but Jesus. Now, here's the funny thing. We make it about everything, and we make sure the bow on the package is Jesus, but the package has nothing to do with Jesus. We make it about politics, denominationalism, traditions. We've got churches that are more interested in building their brand than they are lifting up Jesus. And meanwhile, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the old timers used to gather and they didn't care how big the building was. They didn't care how much technology there was. They met and they lifted up Jesus. No branding agency, no smoke machines, no high dollar production. And we saw moves of God in our country that we haven't seen, unfortunately, in decades. Churches used to lift up Jesus and churches used to change communities. They bragged on Jesus and people were hungry for Jesus. And to be honest, I think we need to get back to a little bit of that. I love the way we do church. And make no mistake about it, I love technology and I love that we get to use social media. And I love that we do things as we feel led to do. But when those things get exalted or lifted or they become more important than Jesus, we've missed the mark. I've been doing this gig for a long time, and there's been a lot of failures along the way. Gail, is that your phone? Gail, look at me. Is it your phone? Why are you checking then? Let me tell you what makes you nervous. I just realized why I'm in a bad mood. My buddy Ben's back there, police officer, and my mother-in-law had him cornered the whole time, and I didn't know what she was telling him about me. I didn't know he's going to arrest me after the service or what. A lot of success along the way, a lot of failure along the way, a lot of criticism along the way, a lot of restoration along the way, heartbreak along the way, and sometimes it's easy to lose sight. This thing's about Jesus. But the Jesus I know now, he's bigger than the Jesus I used to know. The Jesus I know now, he's kinder than the Jesus I used to know. The Jesus I know now, he's stronger. He's more faithful than the Jesus I used to know. And when you truly understand who Jesus is, you can't help but lift that Jesus up. The older I get, the less impressed I become with religion. And the more I desire just to make Jesus famous. I have loved this series. I got to be honest with you, I did not expect this series to be such a reminder to me about who Jesus is. I literally feel like I have fallen in love with Jesus all over again through this series. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a grace-filled God. He's better than we deserve, God. When we don't deserve His grace, He's giving His grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, chapter 2, it says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of your faith." That's a good word today. In a world that can beat you up, fix your eyes on Jesus. In a world that doesn't want you to succeed, fix your eyes on Jesus. In a flawed world, fix your eyes on Jesus. So here's what we're going to do today. We're not going to fix our eyes on culture. We're not going to fix our eyes on politics. We're not going to fix our eyes on pastors. We're not going to fix our eyes on social media outrage. We're just going to focus on Jesus. We're going to wrap up this series today bragging on Jesus. No deep theological sermon today. No verse-by-verse expository of the scriptures like we normally do around here. We aren't breaking anything down in the original language this morning. I just want to remind you this morning about Jesus. Because I think it's so easy for Jesus to become routine in our lives. I think it's so easy for the goodness of God to become so common in our lives that we just take for granted the goodness of God. I always compare it to when you get a new car. When you get that new car, you've heard me use this illustration 1,000 times. Boy, nobody's going to eat in the new car. Boy, you get that new car and you're going to wash that new car every single day. It's got that new car smell to it. And over time, the new car just becomes the car. And suddenly one day you're running behind, and though you swore the kids would never get to eat in the car, you got no choice but to let the kids eat in the car. And you let the kids eat in the car one time, and one time only because they're kids. And next thing you know, there's a milkshake stain on the back seat. There's a French fry smear on the window. And you opened up Pandora's box and you just took for granted that the new car is a regular car. We meet Jesus and man, we're excited about Jesus. We've had our life changed by Jesus. We were struggling with our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups, and then Jesus came along and He changed everything. Our relationships were on the rocks. We had no purpose in life, and Jesus comes along and suddenly everything that we saw blurry, we see clearly. But over time, we take it for granted. He's not any less Jesus than He was when we met Him. We're not in any less need of Him than when we met Him. But just over time, life happens and we forget about how good God is. The devil loves to come along and distract us with good things where we lose sight of the great things. And I just want to remind you today that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's an unchanging God. He's gooder than the good. He's greater than the great. He's life-changing, soul-shaking, earth-moving. And sometimes we just need to go back and be reminded of how good He is. So can we do that today? I said, can we do that today? Listen, I know it's hot out there today. I know it's thick out there today. I could be like most preachers and I could lie to you and tell you because of that I'm going to be a little bit short today, but I'm not going to be short today. We're going to brag on Jesus today. Because I just want to remind you that the Jesus I know now is better than the Jesus I used to know. He's better than what religion taught me about Him. He's better than what denominationalism taught me about Him. He's better than what some preacher got up and tried to scare me into believing about Him so He could control my life. He's not a God of rules. He's a God of relationships. He's not a God of punishment. He's a God of grace. And I just want to remind you today some things about Jesus. We're going to go back. I'm going to use some verses that we've used throughout this whole series because I just want this series to be imprinted on your mind. First thing I want to do today is I still want to remind you that Jesus is still a friend of sinners. You must have not read what I just said because I just said Jesus is still a friend of sinners. I feel like there's just something a little bit wrong with you today. I don't know if it's just you got old. I was up till 11:30 last night at a concert, and I'm tired today, preacher. Then stay home on Saturday nights. I said He's still a friend of sinners. Oh, in case you didn't know, that means He's a friend to you and a friend to me. It doesn't matter what we do, we can't lose sight of who Jesus is. He doesn't love us for what we become, He loves us for who we are. The Bible says in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me educate you today. Jesus came to earth for one purpose and one purpose only. Yes, He performed miracles. Yes, He healed the sick. Yes, He made the blind to see. Yes, He helped the lame to walk. Yes, He taught thousands of people. But He came for one purpose and one purpose only, to bring lost people found, to take people who didn't know God and let them meet them. Hey, to take a group of people who couldn't get to heaven on our own, and He paid the price that we could never pay. That's good news today. You didn't deserve Jesus, and He still loved you. The Bible says in Mark 2:17, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love for us, and that while we were still sinners. You got to get cleaned up before you can come to God. What a lie from the pits of hell. It said while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news today. We serve a God who's always moving towards broken people. Religion avoids messy people, and Jesus walks towards them. I think about the woman at the well. Jesus came up to her. She had five failed marriages. Not one failed marriage. Not two failed marriages. Not three failed marriages. Hey, listen to me. I said, not four failed marriages. Five failed marriages. And Jesus comes to her. Oh, by the way, five failed marriages and was shacking up with someone who wasn't her husband. Someone came up to me this morning and they said, we were in the ice cream shop and someone told us XYZ about you. I just laughed and walked away. Later on, I walked away and said, did you defend me? They said, we defended you, but you didn't deny it. Let me make something clear to you. I don't need to deny rumors. You must have me mistaken for somebody else. We serve a God who's still a friend of sinners. I didn't say He's an associate of sinners. The Bible says he's a friend of sinners. Now, here's the problem with the word friend where we live nowadays. We have cheapened the word friend. We have allowed Facebook to cheapen what it means to be friends. I have over 12,000 friends on my social media account. 12,000 people that have sent me friend requests on Facebook. I can promise you I don't have 12,000 friends. I don't know that I have 10 friends. I got a lot of associates. I got a lot of people that I like. But the word friend used to mean something. So I think we see this and we see Jesus still a friend of sinners, and we just forget how powerful the word friend is. Says he is a friend of sinners. I think about Zacchaeus. We talked about him and he was stealing from the people. Jesus told him he was coming to his house. Matthew was a crooked tax collector, and Jesus saved him. Peter had anger issues. Thomas doubted. The thief on the cross wasted his entire life, and in the last minutes of his life turned to Jesus, and he said, "This day you'll spend with me in paradise." Jesus was always moving towards people who didn't know him. Notice what I said. I said he was moving towards them, not waiting for them to come to him. I love the story of the prodigal son. He goes off, he loses an inheritance, and then he comes to his senses and starts to come home. And the Bible says when the father saw him far off, you know why the father saw him? The father saw him because he was looking for him. The father was waiting for him to come home. The father was waiting for the day that he would see his son come across the ridge. And the Bible says when he saw him, he didn't wait for the son to come to him. He ran to the son. Aren't you glad today that Jesus ran to you? He knows your failures. He knows your struggles. He knows your temptations. He knows your weaknesses. And yet he still pursued us right where we are, and somehow we get over that. I don't understand it. Hospitals exist for sick people. You don't walk into the emergency room and become shocked that there's sick people there. Yet we walk into the house of God, and Christ said it ought to be a hospital for sinners, and we seem shocked when it's messy. I don't go to church. It's full of messy people. By God, you're right. It's full of messy people. Oh, by the way, so is your work full of messy people. Oh, by the way, so is your family reunion full of messy people. Oh, by the... Your Facebook neighborhood page is full of messy people. But you look at the church and seem shocked that there's messy people in the church. People who don't have it together in the church. I had a meeting this week with the owner of Roscoe's in Jasper. The fifth Sunday in August, there's five Sundays in August, so the last Sunday in August, that evening, he asked us to come and do a night of worship in Roscoe's. I sat there and I talked to him, and he was telling me about how he loves music, and he was telling me about the bands that he's brought in, and he was like, "When we bring in this band," I said, "Oh yeah, he's in our worship band." And he said, "We bring this band in." I said, "Yeah, he plays drums in our worship band." He brought up this band. I said, "Oh, he plays guitar in our worship band." He brought up this person. I said, "Oh, they sing in our worship band." He said, "What kind of church are you?" I said, "A messy church." It made me laugh. He said, "Now listen, I don't want to offend any of your people. We won't serve alcohol that night." I said, "You'll offend my people if you don't serve alcohol that night." So what we're going to do, I don't know if it's August 30th, August 31st, whatever the date is, we're going to pack out Roscoe's. And we're going to redeem a place that isn't always living a lifestyle that people would think of when it comes to church. We're going to lift up Jesus in a place where pretty safe to say Jesus isn't lifted up a lot. And what's going to happen is people are going to be like, I can't believe they're worshiping in a bar. Well, we had church in a brewery, so why wouldn't we worship in a bar? It's going to be a good time. But I was so proud as I sat there and listened to Mike talk, that's the owner, to know so many of our people are influential in that place. He says, I'll go before you and I'll make the crooked places straight. Mike thought he was booking bands to entertain people, and what he didn't realize is he was laying a foundation for Jesus to be worshiped in that place. The church ought to be a place of broken marriages. The church ought to be a place of addiction. The church ought to be a place of depression. The church ought to be a place of questions. It ought to be a place where you can come in doubt. It ought to be a messy place. It ought to be, no matter what your hurts are, what your habits are, what your hang-ups are, you can walk into the church house and know you are loved, not for what you're going to become, you're loved for who you are, where you are right now. Because, by the way, we needed that Jesus one time in our life. I need that Jesus now. But we get over it and think we don't. Jesus has never been intimidated by broken people. And we need to remember that he's a friend of sinners. When everybody around you thought you were a failure, Jesus saw somebody with the future. When people saw you as a problem, Jesus saw purpose in you. Every once in a while, we got to step back, breathe, and just remember that Jesus loves us right where we are. Not only is he a friend of sinners today, I want you to know he's still a chain breaker. I said he's still a chain breaker. You say, I don't understand that terminology. Here's what I mean. If you were wound up in chains physically, you would want someone to come along and break those chains. Well, so many people back that up. Everybody at one time in their life is wrapped up in some type of change. They might be emotional change. They might be mental change. They might be spiritual change. But we have something in our life that is keeping us in bondage. It's keeping us from being who we should be. We live in a day and time where we want to analyze everything. We want to give prescriptions to everything. And I'm not against prescriptions for different issues. But at the end of the day, sometimes, most of the time, the answer is just Jesus. He's the chain breaker. The Bible says this in John 8:36, so if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. You don't understand freedom until you meet Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. He says you are a new creation. The world might see you by what you used to be. God sees you as who you are. The world loves to label you, and Jesus looks down and says, that is my child. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Isn't it amazing that the church pulls us out of one chain and puts us back into other chains? Chains of rules, chains of legalism, chains of man-made things that you've got to do to come to God. He says, I have set you free. Jesus does not improve people. He transforms them. You are no longer who you used to be. Only Jesus can take a bitter person and make them a loving person. Only Jesus can take an addict and set them free. Only Jesus can take years of shame that therapy never could touch and lift it off your shoulders. Only Jesus can resurrect dead things. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus did not walk up to the tomb and show him how to be a better dead person. He walked up to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. He went from dead to alive. That's the gospel. The problem with us is we want to judge other people's growth. I hate to pick on my father-in-law, but that's just part of being family. You get yelled at on the front row if you're my mother-in-law, even if it's not your phone going off. The only one who don't get picked on is Heather. She's sweet, and she makes a good prime rib. I'm minding my own business this morning. I'm worshiping Jesus back there. I look through the open spot, and there's my father-in-law with his hands on the seat, twerking for Jesus. Hold on. I'm going to be keeping as real as I can. For about 1.1 second, I got agitated. I was like, dang it, Rick. No one wants to see you twerking. Which I still stand by that. No one. For all of you over there, I apologize that you had to witness that. Luckily, it was in front of Leanne, and she's probably seen worse than that from him. 1.1 second. And then I started smiling. Because I remember 14 years ago, him walking through our church parking lot with a gun in the air, fixing to shoot up a truck. And now he's twerking for Jesus. He's walking around in a cornhole shirt this morning that says on the back, "My goal is your hole." I remember when he used to walk around with the church that said, "I saw your mom dance at the Claremont Lounge." I remember when he showed up at church after being in fights every night on Saturday night, and now he's down in the kids' area serving kids. That's a chain breaker. I remember when he invited a guy to our church one time and said, "Man, I know this guy from the strip club." And now that guy's sitting on a roof over there, and he's one of our elders. That's the chain-breaking God I know. See, here's the problem. Religion looks at people that attend this church and still wants to judge them, but they don't see how far God's brought them. Jesus did not come to make bad people slightly better. He came to make dead people alive. He's a chain-breaking God. Ephesians 2:1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Do you understand that before Christ, we were dead in our sin? We had no hope. We had no future. And the chain breaker comes along. Some of you have been trying to fix yourself for years, and it hasn't worked. You can keep on trying and it will not work. There's some things in life that there is no fixing outside of Jesus. More discipline is not going to fix it. More motivation is not going to fix it. More hustle is not going to fix it. More positive thinking is not going to fix it. What you really need to do for the first time is just surrender to Jesus. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He says, "No man comes to the Father except through me." He is the answer to whatever question you're asking. Some of you need to stop identifying yourself by what you did and start identifying yourself by what Christ did on the cross. You're not your addiction today. You're not your failure today. You're not your past today. You are a child of the living God. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looked down and he broke those chains. The world tries to label you to hold you down. They can't stand how Christ sees you. I want you to know this today about Jesus. He's still enough. I could have just got up here today and said, Jesus is still enough, and closed it out. The Jesus I know now is still enough. He's more than I ever needed. John 6:68, a group of people have walked away from Jesus, and he looks at the disciples and he says, are you going to walk away too? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. He's still enough. Philippians 3:8 says, I consider everything a loss. This is Paul. Oh, by the way, he's in prison at this time. Oh, by the way, he's already been sentenced to death at this time. He said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's about the third time that light's when it gets so hot in here, the tape can't even stick. Jesus is still enough. It ain't even June yet. It ain't even July yet. I'm going to do a whole series on hell in August just because it's going to feel like hell in here. I'm sweating in places I didn't know existed right now. Have that image in your head. We spend our life chasing things that come up lacking. Christina and I were watching a show the other day. I love to watch shows of entrepreneurs. I love to watch shows of business owners. And I was watching this show, and the guy has built a very successful real estate company. He's making literally millions of dollars. On the show, in this episode, him and his wife are looking for homes. They're looking for homes in, what was it, Christine, the $16 to $18 million range for themselves. By the world standards, he would be what we would call successful financially. He lands a huge, massive, $150 billion condo, I guess you call it, in Miami, where he gets to sell all of the units. All the units sold would be $150 billion. And they had this huge party to cut ribbon cutting to show that the condos, I guess they're called. I'm so redneck, I don't even know what you call them. They've got famous rappers there performing, and the who's who of Miami is showing up. And man, people are having a good time, and people have flown in from Los Angeles, and they've flown in from New York. And you can tell a lot of the show's staged, but I didn't feel like this part of the show was staged. Suddenly, his wife walks up to him in the midst of the party. He's in the back corner on his phone. She said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just trying to get this deal closed real quick, and then I'm going to come enjoy that party. So he walks away. I guess about 30 minutes later, she walks back and she says, what are you doing? He said, I just got to get this deal closed. She said, the same deal? No, it's another one. And she looked at him and she said, you're missing out on everything that's going on here today. She said, your children are here to celebrate this day with you. She said, colleagues from all over the nation have flown in to celebrate this day with you. And she looks at him and she says, when will enough be enough? And you can see it on his face, his eyes water up. And I wish I could tell you he put his phone down and went back and joined the party. He looked at her and said, I understand. I'll be out there in a few minutes. We chase all these things. We chase money. We chase relationships. We chase success. We chase status. We chase attention. We chase pleasure. I said we chase pleasure. And it's all lacking. Solomon, if you don't know who Solomon is, he was the wisest man in the Bible. He was the son of King David. He became the king. He was the wealthiest king ever. He had all the wealth. I should do a series on Solomon, actually. He had all the wealth, all the power, all the influence, all the fame, all the women. I don't even remember how many women he had. He had like 400 wives, 900 concubines. I remember thinking one time if he had sex with one of them a day, he would be a different woman for 5.5 years. He had everything. Everything the world says you would want. And he looked out and said, it's all meaningless. There was a void in his life from all of those things. He looked out at all the worldly success he had and everyone looking at him and conquering nations, and he said, it's all meaningless. Because nothing in this world will fill a God-sized hole but God. We just got back from Cancun. Everybody's like, you ain't talked a lot about Cancun. What's there to talk about? It was a beach and food. And it was a great time. I don't want to come up here and sound like I'm bragging. It was a great time. We had a great time. I can't wait till the day comes and we can go do it again. But on that trip, we went snorkeling. I don't know what I thought snorkeling was. I thought snorkeling was you were in like 2 foot of water and you stuck your head in the water and it had this thing that came up out of the water and you saw pretty fish. That is not the kind of snorkeling we did. We got on a sailboat. We went out to the middle of the ocean. Not 2 feet deep. Lots of feet deep. They literally threw us off the boat. They didn't show me how to use the snorkel. They didn't show me how to use the goggles. They didn't show me how to tighten my life vest. So I get in the water and it's coming up and it's choking me and water's coming in my thing and I'm sticking my head in and there's waves everywhere and the salt water's going down my throat and I'm gagging and I'm coughing. And Christine thinks, she's like, you didn't even stay with me. I wasn't letting you see me like that. I was struggling. And if you know anything about me, I don't like being in places I don't know. So I was not losing sight of the guide. We were on a sailboat called the, what was it, Monte Cristo? So the whole time, I think the only thing the guy could speak in English was, Monte Cristo! And so you had to follow his voice, and I'm freaking out. But here's the thing. The more salt water that went down my throat, the more thirsty I got. You would think water would satisfy a thirst, but salt water doesn't. That's all the things that we chase. We think these things satisfy, and they satisfy nothing. They bring no peace, no satisfaction. The more salt water that went down, the more I gagged, the more I couldn't breathe. I could feel, you know how you're just in water and you feel snots coming all down your thing? All I could do was get to the boat and just chug water. We jump in the deep end and we think, man, the more water we take in, the more we do, the more peace we're going to have, the more satisfaction we're going to have, and the more it leaves us lacking. I don't know how to tell you and how to get you to understand that the world will leave you thirsty, but Jesus is enough. He wasn't just enough then, he's still enough now. We need to redefine success in our society. I'm so sick of seeing people on social media leaned up against a Lamborghini talking about how successful they are. You are not successful because of how big your house is. You are not successful because of how much money you have in the bank. The only thing that will bring you true peace is Jesus. Have you ever met people and by our standards they have nothing? They don't have two pennies to rub together, but they walk in peace. And then you meet people who have millions and they're miserable. Now don't get me wrong, I've met people who have millions and are happy too. But the problem is anything outside of Jesus will leave you lacking. The world offers distractions and Jesus offers fulfillment. The Jesus I know now reminds me to quit looking for temporary fulfillment. Start looking for eternal peace. We need to understand something. We were created for Jesus. And nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus will satisfy your soul. Just a reminder this morning. Not our typical message this morning. I can't wait till next week. We're starting a new series. We're going to go chapter by chapter through Philippians. I love breaking down the scripture like that. But sometimes you just need to be reminded that Jesus is still a friend of sinners. He's still the chain breaker. He's still enough. And I'm done and we're going to go home. He's still king. I said he's still king. Philippians says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is all above every name. Colossians 1 says, in him all things hold together. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority, not some authority, not 99% of the authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Revelation 19:16 says, when he comes back, he's coming back with two tattoos down his leg. One says, King of Kings, and the other says, Lord of Lords. He's still the king. Culture changes, opinions change. Governments change. Social media changes things every 5 minutes. Jesus does not change. The Bible says he was the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. Listen to me. Hell bows to the King of Kings. Demons bow to the King of Kings. Fear bows to the King of Kings. Depression bows to the King of Kings. Death bows to the King of Kings. Cancer bows to the King of Kings. Sickness bows to the King of Kings. Addictions bow to the King of Kings. Hurts bow to the King of Kings. Habits bow to the King of Kings. Hang-ups bow to the King of Kings. Whatever it is you're struggling with, it is not bigger than Jesus because he is the King of Kings. And we need to remember that today. He's life-changing. Not because church is powerful, but because Jesus is powerful. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through storms in life. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard times in life. But what it means is when you go through those things, you have the one thing that it gets you to the other side. When sailors go through storms, they're able to survive the storm because they have anchors. The storm still rages. The wind still blows. The waves still crash, but the anchor keeps them steady in the midst of the storm. We serve a God today who's an anchor, and the anchor holds. There have been seasons in my life where I was unlovable. There were seasons in my life that I didn't know if I was going to make it through another day. There were seasons in my life where I didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. There were seasons in my life where I didn't know if my marriage was going to make it through the week. There were seasons in my life where the criticism was so strong that I didn't know that I could take any more of it. There are seasons in my life when family wanted nothing to do with us. But God. He got us through that. He's the anchor. Criticism, pressure, pain, uncertainty, loss, failure. Jesus remained steady in the middle of it. Never left me, never forsake me. The anchor holds. When everything around me shakes, Jesus remains steady. Build your life on something eternal. The reason so many of you don't have peace in life is because your peace depends on the wrong things. If your peace depends on politics, there's going to be times you don't have peace. If your peace depends on money, there's going to be times you don't have peace. If your peace depends on success, there's going to be times you don't have peace. If your peace depends on other people, there's going to be times you don't have peace. Jesus is the only foundation that holds. And when your life is falling apart, it's funny. Isn't this how the devil works? Life throws us curveballs and life starts falling apart. And what do? We retreat from church. We retreat from people. We just need to be alone. The Bible said it's not good for man to be alone in Genesis. So what a great tactic of the devil to get you to separate from people. Where you can feel sorry for yourself. Where the devil can begin to plant seeds in your mind that are not true. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. The Bible says his native tongue is lies. He will convince you that this world would be better off without you. People ask me all the time, how do I deal with the lies? You combat them with truth. Let me close it out by this. The Jesus I know now is more gracious than I ever imagined. The Jesus I know now is more faithful than I ever deserved. He's more patient than I ever realized. He's more powerful than religion ever explained to me. When your faith and your trust is in Jesus, and it's not lip service, it changes everything. Melissa, will you come up here? I don't even know what song we're ending with today. We might change it up. Jesus. Just Jesus. When was the last time you stopped and you just thank Jesus for being Jesus? If you encounter the real Jesus, you'll never be the same. Let me see what's the last song that we're supposed to do. I do like that song. But I really want to do that, God, I'm grateful for you again. Oh, I am getting y'all out here early. Because, I mean, you can't talk about
being grateful for God and not in the service being grateful for God. But then he's got mighty to save on here, and man, he is mighty to save. Where's Phil at? Phil, I think we're going to do both those songs. I know you hate curveballs. I know the Methodist in you don't know what to do when I throw you curveballs. But we got Melissa, who's the exact opposite of Methodist. She's charismatic. She'll start doing, God, I'm just grateful for you right now without even the band up here.